there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Good evening, elegant listeners, and welcome to Go! My favorite sports team. My name is Markiplier. I'm here joined by Tyler, as usual. And we are switching roles. I'm the master of balls and holes. Or I'm the master of what's a synonym?
Round objects.
No.
That's rocks a descriptor. And tunnels.
No, come on. And no, I'm a master of shuttlecocks and goalposts.
Master of nets and...
Nope, I'm going with it. Shuttlecocks and end zones. That's me.
Shuttlecocks and end zones.
Yep, that's it. We are here to inform you about the world of sports. And believe it or not, there's more news outside of the world of Taylor Swift.
Yes, which also was relevant. I don't know if people understood, but there's massive ticket sales and a whole bunch of stuff has happened. In fact, the last game that the Chiefs played in was the most viewed since the Super Bowl. So,
wow, that is incredible. That is something special.
Massive rise in female viewership, thanks to Taylor Swift.
It was so weird because it wasn't until you mentioned it to me that I suddenly started seeing it everywhere. Like, yeah. I don't even pursue any of this information, but it was just like everywhere online, suddenly everyone was talking about it. I'm sure they were before, but I hadn't noticed it. So there you have it. We were first to break the story. We are the prominent sports informational podcast out there, and no one can beat us.
Yeah, We're the best.
Yes. But if you were wondering why the last episode was so short, it's because I went to Korea, and now I'm back from Korea.
Yay. How was the holiday, by the way?
It was good, you know, just lots of food. That's basically all that holiday is with my family, is just like food. Endless amounts of food.
Food sounds so good, though.
God, we went out to an all-you-can-eat shabu place.
Oh, yeah?
And that was great. You know, it was great. You eat and eat and eat until you die. And then my family informed me that we would be going home and then barbecuing immediately after. So I power ate at this restaurant. I ate so much that I was trying to beat Hyungbae at eating. And Hyungbae is bigger than me by a good measure. And, you know, that man can eat. But I think I held my own in that dinner. And I was very proud of myself because I ate a whole bunch. And then we went back home and I was already comatose from eating so much. And they just started firing up the grill and they started popping more meat on there. It was awful.
Do you think Hyungbae could out-eat Wade at Fogo de Chao?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. I don't know. It'd be a close battle. I don't know.
I kind of want this to happen now.
Well, the thing is, I want to bring, you know, Wade over to Korea just for the sake of him existing in Korea would be a hilarious sight to begin with. And he's such a picky eater, but I think he would appreciate Korea because Korean barbecue, he could definitely get behind.
Oh, yeah.
Just a whole bunch of meat. He doesn't have to eat any of the side dishes, even though I would make him try it at least once. But I think that would be really funny.
I mean, I want to go to Korea at some point.
Well, too bad. Oh. Unless you can power eat competitively with Hyungbae, you can't go.
All right. I'm training right now. We'll train. I'm going to start training just for our competition so that I could show you up and then I'll show up Hyungbae.
All right, that sounds good. Well, speaking of Korea, maybe there is a reason for you to go, because today's episode is done by me. Like I said, I'm taking over. So Tyler is going to sit there and look pretty, and if you're watching on Spotify, he's freshly shorn and looks prettier than ever. Your hair's looking good, your demeanor's looking good, your smile's looking beautiful. God, you're pretty. Man, if people aren't watching on Spotify, then they don't even know what they're missing.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
But today we're going to talk about sports in Korea. We're not going to go into primer level because I don't know my sports well enough. But I wanted to talk about it real quick just because I got back from Korea and I was like, hey, it's topical. A little bit topical anyway. So to start off, we're going to look at the top 10 most popular sports in Korea. Just to give an overview of what the sports situation is in Korea. So I want you to guess, starting at number 10. Mm-hmm. What is the 10th most popular sport in Korea?
American football.
No, I don't think that they even know that exists over there.
Cricket.
Nope.
Badminton.
You're close. All right, I'll give you badminton.
Table tennis.
Hold on. All right, you guessed two on the list. I'll just start. Yeah, you guess what's okay. Here. Okay, badminton is number 7. It's the seventh most popular sport, which is actually interesting because I didn't know that badminton was that popular in general. But it's funny that you bring up badminton because when I was over at my family's house, badminton was on the TV because either right now or just recently, the Asiana Games was occurring in, I believe it was in China it was taking place. I'm not 100% sure. And it was fascinating because I was watching it and there was a lot of matches between North Korea and South Korea. And there was a lot of like competition going on. And actually, the first thing that I watched that was on TV was basketball, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Basketball is very popular in North Korea. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know that because the only reason I know that is because Dennis Rodman has actually been like he's a former NBA player, massive, tall guy, huge rebounder, was a part of the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls when they won multiple championships. And he's gone over there to do some diplomatic visits with...
Right. We did talk about that. We talked about like the whole NBA team going up to North Korea and they were like doing exhibition matches out there. And it kind of is one of the things that opened the door in Korea. Same with Russia. We talked about that as well.
Yep.
So basketball is actually the third most popular sport in South Korea and is very up there in North Korea. I don't know the ranking. I don't know if anybody can provide a ranking either. But very popular. And badminton, though, I did not know badminton was popular, like as a professional sport where people are competing on a really, really high level. That's why I said I was the master of shuttlecocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed because I've watched a lot of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I've watched the Summer Games in particular, a massive amount. And the predominant competing teams that are in racket sports, specifically the ones outside of tennis, are mostly the Asian countries, whether it's going to be table tennis or badminton. There's a few different ones that I can't remember the names of right now, but they seem to be very dominant. And the athleticism and the quick agility that's involved in that is insane.
Oh, yeah. Watching them play badminton was like they were playing a completely different game from the one I played as a kid. They were fast. They were accurate. They were incredible. They were stunning, and there was both singles and doubles, same as tennis, and just like the ability to get that thing moving and the reaction time. Because when you hit like in badminton, you hit the shuttlecock. It goes fast at first, but it slows down a lot because of the way it's shaped or something. It influences how it falls. I don't know the physics of it. And their reaction times are stunning.
It's the air resistance of like the cone part.
Yeah. And the communication between the doubles was more impressive because the communication of who was going to get it when was just like phenomenal. They had a psychic link. They were going back and forth with that. But still, only the 7th, and table tennis is only the 10th most popular.
Oh, so I did get the 10th one on my...
You did.
At the end of it. Nice.
Table tennis. Yeah.
Table tennis. Mm-hmm. So, and basketball was up there at 3rd, you said?
Number 3, yes.
Number 3?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say let's go number 9. I'm going to go obscure and say bowling.
No, bowling is not on the list.
Lawn darts.
No.
bocce ball.
No. No as seen on TV ones are on this list anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I'm talking lawn darts as seen on TV. Okay. Not TV like played on sports.
Hold on.
No.
Soccer?
Soccer is number one, as it is in many countries. Soccer is numero uno most popular sport in Korea, and that should not come as a surprise. Many South Korean players play at an international level on several different teams, just like many Korean baseball players play on at least an American level where they are on American teams. Baseball, extremely popular. Also, my cousin Youngbae's favorite sport.
Yeah, I know you had told me baseball was pretty popular over there. Mm-hmm. Where is that on the chart?
Baseball is number two.
Okay.
Baseball is number two, soccer number one.
Soccer number one, baseball two.
Soccer, baseball, basketball. I'll give you the rest because otherwise it would just be a guessing game.
Water polo and rugby on there?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no. Number 9, volleyball.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
Especially among women and some of the, I believe the national women's volleyball team competes very competitively in the Olympics, every Olympics.
Yeah.
Archery, number 8.
Oh,
many South Korean archers also have won gold in archery, not only originating as like just international archery, but gundo is Korean archery, which is which is traditional Korean archery that has its own set of like techniques and bows and stuff like that. Just like Chinese archery is different. There is an originating archery. So big proficiency in archery. Number 6, taekwondo.
Okay, yeah.
It would make a lot of sense. Taekwondo originating from Korea. It's a martial arts, but also is an Olympic sport. I believe that amongst judo, I don't know what the other Olympic martial arts, there's like taekwondo, judo, is karate?
Is jiu-jitsu one of them? I think jiu-jitsu is one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if karate officially is.
Wait, is taekwondo, am I a fool? Is taekwondo even an Olympic one?
I don't even remember. I believe it is.
Yeah. Taekwondo Olympic.
Yeah, I'm trying to confirm that myself. And for whatever reason, Google is being slow.
Yes, it is an Olympic sport.
Yeah, I think that's the one I saw. Somebody got disqualified because of pure happenstance. He kicked somebody in the head way too hard.
Oh, yeah. I it was either Taekwondo or karate. But yeah, if you hurt someone, you can get disqualified because part of the martial arts is discipline in terms of controlling your power. Yeah, oddly enough, you don't want to knock anyone out. Number 5. Esports.
Really? It's blown up that much.
Esports basically originated in South Korea.
Really?
There was StarCraft. StarCraft started before there was Twitch, before there was anything. There was an international or a national kind of fervor to play and watch StarCraft. So the ability to watch people play esports or video games like this kind of originated in Korea because so many people in Korea loved StarCraft. They played it. Every kid played it. My cousin played it. Some people still play it to this day, the original StarCraft, not just the sequel. And then rounding out the list, number 4, golf.
Really?
Yeah, golf.
Are there a lot of golf courses?
There are a lot of golf courses, but there are also a lot of golf ranges, like kind of round one style, or not round one, Top Golf style things. I don't think Top Golf is in South Korea, but it should be because they would make a lot of money in South Korea.
Are they Top Golf style, like they have the arcade aspect of it, or
no, just driving ranges, but inner city ones where it's like, you know. It's
the whole
thing's netted. It's actually kind of smart because the net's at an incline, so the balls just roll back. So it's just like makes cleanup much easier. But yeah, those are the top 10 most popular sports in Korea.
Wow.
At the moment.
That's fascinating. Okay.
It is. So a lot of them are like Western sports. So there's a lot of American influence in South Korea and a lot of I guess soccer is definitely not an American sport. But baseball and basketball are. And then golf is obviously international and whatnot. But there are many, many, many popular sports in Korea. And many schools in Korea emphasize athletics nearly as much as America does.
Yeah, I've heard of some schools in like their sport universities in Europe where people can go to literally just train to be a professional athlete or work in sport.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe. I was talking to a friend of mine who tried out for it. There's like an actual like crazy athletic thing where you have to do all of these different sports and score high enough amongst all of them to get into the sport university.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I bet. Yeah.
It's kind of nuts out there. But the reason I wanted to bring up this list is also because I wanted to talk about original South Korean, or at least Korean even before North Korea and South Korea, the Korean War, sports that originated in Korea. And so we already talked about Taekwondo. There's also Hapkido. There's Sirum, which is kind of like sumo wrestling, but with different rules. There's Taekyeon, which I've never seen before. I'm not 100% sure what Taekyeon is. It's characterized by fluid dynamic foot movement called Pumbakki, or stepping on triangles. I don't know what that is.
I am very curious to see the video on this. Stepping on triangles makes me think that it's like a fluid motion where you make a triangle, but...
Yeah, Taekyeon includes hands and feet techniques to unbalance, trip, or throw the opponent. Taekyeon has many leg and whole body techniques with fully integrated arm work. A Taekyeon practitioner is called a Taekyeon-kun. More you know.
Sounds fun. I like judo because it's like grappling and throwing and stuff. That's fun. So...
Yeah,
this trying is just to the, just trip people.
It's just when you played Mortal Kombat on the Super Nintendo and all you could do was low like trip move and you just that over and over again.
But besides the martial arts, which obviously like in a lot of Asian countries, there are martial arts that are prevalent and everyone has their own. I already talked about Gundo, which is Korean archery, but I wanted to talk about some really fun ones. I've got three here. That are just like kind of... Oh, actually, I've got four because two are related, but they are technically different. The first one is called Gunnetigi.
Which translates to what?
I have no idea. All I know is how to say it. Gunnetigi.
I want a translation because I want to be able to try and guess what these are.
All right. That seems like fun. Let me look up how to translate it.
Hopefully it doesn't just give you a definition or what it is.
Oh, no, don't worry. I don't know why I don't have my Korean keyboard in here.
Is it on your phone? Can you quickly pull it up on your phone?
I don't have my phone on me.
One second.
All right, okay. I
think I have the...
All right, well, no, it's not that it's, like, funny or anything. It's just, like, you're going to have a real tough time guessing what this is.
Okay.
It translates to swing.
Swing? It just translates to swing. All right. So what I picture this is you got two people on swings and they're far enough apart that they have to jump off in order to collide, right? And so they're swinging mm-hmm. back and forth. Mm-hmm. They're counting up until the point of jump. And then they both have their like rubber balls in their hands, almost like dodgeballs. And they try and hit the other person with the rubber ball first after they jump off the swing. And they want to land on top of the other person. And that's how they get 2 points.
You were very close, and then you drifted away from it.
Okay.
Yeah. Gunnetigi is swinging.
Oh, I was right there with the swing concept.
Yeah, basically like two people on a swing. It's more just like a thing to do, but obviously with any human activity, people take it to another level. So if you're not watching on Spotify, I've got a picture up here with a whole crowd watching two people on a swing that is probably about like, I don't know, the swing like beam is like 30 feet in the air and they're probably a good 20. They're pretty up there. So
they might actually get full horizontal at some point, which is the maximum height you can get to without the rope like snapping.
Which would be terrifying, but two people on a swing can go even faster and higher than the other one. So basically just like these are more child size swings that I have here.
Are these all standing swings too? Because I noticed it's a standing swing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's a standing swing. So you're not sitting on it because that's for chumps and not babies, apparently. Yeah, you go standing on it, you can get even higher for on it. Yeah, this is probably like why me and my brother had like a deep instinctual need to go out into the woods and build swings. That's probably
Wait, you
why
did,
we
that
did that
too?
Of course.
We built there's a vine still in my neighborhood that my brother and I put up when we were like 10 that's made out of like this conveyor belt. And it's still on the tree. You can still swing out over these terrifying rocks and stuff.
Yeah, there's still a vine in the woods somewhere behind my childhood home, along with a body.
Anyway, so that's Gunne Tuigi.
Do they jump off? Like, how do they score that? Do they do tricks?
That's not really a score, I don't think. I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, wait, there's winners. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of point system for it to qualify it as a sport because there's competition.
I should have read up. This wasn't the one that I read up on because I was like, this is just kind of fun. But apparently, during which he held swing ride. Oh, this is the origination. All right, Act 1. In AD 1216, Cho Chung Hun, I can't Konglish, a powerful military leader holding a huge party during the 3-day Dano festival, during which he held swing riding contests. It seems that both men and women rode the swings and winners received silver as their prizes. It wasn't just prize for how high you could swing, but also for tricks like stamping your feet or ringing a bell or doing a kickflip. Or doing a backflip. Probably some sick tricks up there.
Or hooking on your legs on the bottom and swinging with your hands dragging on the ground.
Or midair fornication. Who knows?
Sick tricks, bruh.
Yeah. At some point, swing riding became a women's activity. Although the participants at major festivals were men, women, kept behind walls of exclusion, took over swing riding as supposedly healthy pastime. But it was more than that. Women often dressed in their best going-out clothes and shoes, but would lift up their skirts and tie a sash around their waist, just as they would do for playing noltigi, which is the next sport that I want to talk about.
All right, so I want to talk about why this was a military originated sport.
Oh.
And I imagine it's because they would swing. They would build these swings and launch off the edge to just jump on their opponent on the ground below, like they're on cliff sides, and they swing and they jump and they just land on them. They're just like full body, just whop.
You got it. Perfect. He nailed it. All right, so you got baby Tyler. What you're going to need is 2 40-foot oak poles that are 13 and a half inches in diameter apiece at the bottom, and then they go down to 11 and three-quarters inches at the top. Here's your saw, here's your rusty nails, here's your rope to tie it together, and here's your plank of wood that I got off of the sea.
Can I suck on the nails? Because I have iron deficiency and I suck on rocks.
It can suck on whatever you want. You're going to die soon. Don't matter.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Anyway, so what is noltigi?
All right. So it has a sash. So I imagine it's like a, I would say it's probably something like you're trying to evade opponents as they try and grab it, like capture the flag or not capture the flag or flag football to get the sash off and then tie it to themselves. It's like King of the Hill, but they're trying to steal the sash.
I don't know where you got sash from.
Oh.
I think I said in the other one that they tied their dress up with a sash, but yeah, that has nothing to do with it. So noltigi is extreme seesawing.
Are they like launching people?
Yes, they are.
Oh my God.
The Koreans made an entire tradition about taking childhood games to an extreme. And let me tell you, they get up there.
Oh my God. Mark, I want to launch you.
Yeah. Well, we could go to Korea and we could do this. Actually, we could. 100%. If you're not watching on Spotify, what I've pulled up is a picture of noltigi, and there's a lady that is probably like 15 feet in the air doing the splits with a tambourine in her
It's musical.
Yeah, so basically it's exactly what it sounds like. Two people on either side. One person in the middle to keep it held down or else it would go all kinds of crazy. And then they just jump back and forth and get higher and higher. And then I don't think that there's any metric of success here, but it's more of an acrobatics thing, I think.
Yeah, so it looks like it's literally a board put onto either a rounded log or like it's not actually like what most people picture in the U.S. as seesaws, where it's like an actual thing that's got a fulcrum in the middle that's anchored like axle, a ball. What is that called?
Fulcrum?
Yeah, no, I know what the fulcrum is, but it's like this is literally a board sitting on top of it. It's an old school traditional seesaw as opposed to what we think of on playgrounds as seesaws where they have the ball bearings and the axle.
Oh, right, sure. Yeah.
So it's like attached so that it wouldn't come off. That's why the person's sitting in the middle. But Mark, I have a funny story about this.
Do you?
I do. So my ex brought this up recently, but it was about the first time we hung out, our first date.
Okay. All right.
And we went and we found the seesaw that was like a very modernized, like artistic kind of seesaw. And I launched her into the air.
Good.
Going too hard on the seesaw. And almost, she almost cracked her head on the fulcrum part. And so I unintentionally sort of played the sport.
Oh, good. Wow, that is really a way to go. You always got to win, don't you?
Somehow she still went on a second date with me, and we dated for like a year or so.
Well, must have been fun. Must have been fun. apparently, Act One!
Oh.
The origination, not military, as you might imagine.
Dang it. I was thinking they'd launch people.
But it was said when in Korean houses, traditionally, the more higher, wealthier people, they had a wall around their house. And some noble families even had like an almost like kind of enclosement thing. So
you could be a peeking.
You could be a peeking. Yeah, you could you be a peeking.
You get launched and peek. Oh, what are the rich people doing?
So, no, not for, it's actually for, because, you know, women weren't allowed out of the home. So, basically, they had very little idea of what was going on. So, apparently, and I don't know how true this is, they discovered that this was the perfect way to catch glimpses of what's going on in the outside world. So, they would set up anywhere near a wall, and then they would just bounce and be able to see. And also, it's an incredibly strenuous thing and difficult, so it's good exercise at the same time. It's probably true, but also probably it was fun, so who knows which one's the actual origination, if it was originally a game and then it was used in that purpose, or if it was expressly used for that purpose and then kind of diversified into a full game.
I mean, I feel like it also was used military-wise to launch people onto the wall to climb over the wall.
Yep. Military application. There's a few, apparently, poems.
The ancient Romans came in, and they rolled their barrels of whiskey and wine, and they put their board across it, and they'd launch their men onto the top of the spiked walls, and then they'd use those dead men on the spiked walls to be able to grab their legs and pull themselves up and climb over so that they don't get spiked on the top.
Yeah, the infamous Roman invasion of ancient Korea. We yes. all know it. But there are apparently a few poems that describe women jumping high enough for suitors to see them and perhaps to fall in love with them.
Aww. You know.
Yoo-hoo.
I feel like I need to be the one being launched to see if I can get women suitors at this point. Mark, launch me. Launch me high, Mark.
All right. Okay. Baby Tyler. Your goal is to woo someone. Boy.
Oh, there's a baby there. Launch me again, Mark.
I don't know. Did you survive the fall? You had one shot.
I'm a baby. I'm forever relaxed, so I avoid the tension, so I survived.
Ah, good. Okay, anyway, so the actual, or actually, no, this is another sport that I think you might have mentioned. I can't remember if you did, but there's a sport called chokku. So here's a hint. Here's a hint of what chokku is. Chokku is soccer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was this the one that I was talking about, like bocce ball?
Bocce ball. I forget what bocce ball is.
You said I might have mentioned it.
Oh, not this episode. I think we might have talked about it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh.
So just think outside the box. If chokku is soccer and chokku is another sport that originated in Korea, what do you think chokku might be?
Oh, it's like an old it's probably in the history of soccer. It was named as one of the ones. Is it similar to the one where there was a net in the middle and they had to kick it into the net that was above the ground? Or no, it's not above the ground. It's like, it's a single net that's in the middle. Oh. Kick it over the net?
Yes!
Yeah!
It's volleyball.
But kicking.
Kicking!
Yeah!
Exactly! Yeah, 100%. It is. I don't know what year it originated, and I'm not 100% sure if it's actually like a fully Korean-originated sport, but at least a variety of it, because I know that this is a sport outside of Korea. I don't know if it's
absolutely from Korea or not. I'm pretty sure it is, but I believe we have talked about this before in another capacity, and so I am not 100% well-versed enough to know. What I'm certain of is that chokku is a sport that originated in Korea and absolutely is a national sport there. Whether or not there's other countries that simultaneously did volleyball but soccer, I have no idea.
Yeah, this is I've actually watched clips of this. It is absolutely insane. The skills and everything involved with the eye-foot coordination, but also like the flipping and acrobatics that are done. It's almost like combines martial arts and soccer and volleyball.
Yes, absolutely. It's three people on a team. Act one!
I'm ready.
All right.
I got my popcorn.
Long ago, during the ancient Roman-Korean War, as people were leaping over the walls, the scouts went, "Boing! I see them! Oh, what do we do?" And it just so happened to be that the border was defended by the armless brigade. No arm. But man, they had legs.
They had a limited amount of soldiers, so after they had lost their arms, they'd patch them up and be like, "You're still useful." And they'd throw the powder kegs of gunpowder that they developed, and they'd light them, and they'd throw them in the air, and they'd have them do a quick kick and then shoot it over the walls and it hits them.
They stick matches between their toes and they're just like, "Ha, kick, chuck," and they light it as they kick it. It's beautiful, really, to see. Incredible. Unless they kick it too hard and then it blows up in their face.
And that's why there's no evidence of the Romans ever being in Korea, because they're all obliterated.
They got blown to smithereens. But yeah, so chokku is a sport in Korea that is extremely popular. And it is the second to last sport that I'm going to tell you about today.
All right.
And all other sports pale in comparison to this one. Even American sports, every sport you've ever known, every sport you've ever loved, has nothing on this last sport. Where's my tab that I have here? So this sport is called Chejeon Nori.
Translation?
So Nori, as far as I know, stands for seaweed.
Okay.
And Chejeon, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that is either an old era of Korea. I have no idea. I have to look it up.
I've got an idea.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Right. So the competition is you take the people and you wrap them in seaweed. So much seaweed. They're just completely tied up in seaweed.
Uh-huh.
And then they toss them in the ocean. And they have to escape and swim to the top. And whoever does it the fastest is the winner.
Uh-huh.
And some people die.
That's good. Actually, I misled you. So Nori also stands for game. Oh, also, the Konglish threw me off. The stupid Konglish said Chejeon. It's actually Chajeon. So I completely misled you on that one. Now you can get it.
Okay. So it's game, not seaweed.
Yeah. Chajeon Nori.
Okay. Something game. Charging game. It's to two people. They put helmets on their head, and they run at each other as hard as they can and collide.
You're
and
really
whoever's
close.
Left standing wins.
You're really close. So the Papago translation stood for a game of car game, which is not what it is. But
okay.
What it is actually really, really close to what you just described. It's I'm not lying. It's also known, occasionally translated as juggernaut battle.
Oh my god!
And let me show you. So I'll describe the picture, but I want to get Tyler's raw reaction here first to this.
Oh my god! This looks glorious. They're on pedestals held up by other people, and it's like. You know those, have you seen the balloon popping, like, little mechanical, like, Rock'em Sock'em Robots version, but you have to, like, duel with, like, a pokey stick and a shield? That's literally, like, this is the human version of this.
Yeah. So what I have here is a picture on, if you're watching on Spotify, you'll see it, but I'll describe it extremely in detail. There's two people on top of two, like, if you know an art easel, the A-frame where, you know, it's got that board in the middle and two sticks and one in the back. It doesn't have the one in the back, but it's got the two sticks in the A-frame. And they're bound together with a lot of rope. And there's one person on each of these, and there's two of them. It's like jousting. There's two teams of 50 people.
Oh, my gosh.
Two teams of 50 people are pushing these things and jousting together. At the top, there's a lot of rope so that they can collide, and the people riding it are holding on to two, looks like flags, like fabric. They're one-handed. They're like riding a horse, and they have swords in their other hands, and they charge and try to knock the other person off. Everyone on the team is trying to help make their jouster win in the juggernaut battle.
This is wild. If they're pushing and moving these the whole time, so those people on top have to have insane balance.
Yeah.
Not only from people like the other person who hits them, but literally the entire movement of this entire thing. This is wild.
Yeah, I want to go in more detail about this one down the road, just because I only did a cursory glance and a little bit of research before going into this episode. But this one just blew my mind. I haven't even heard about this, and I've been to Korea many times. I don't think that it's a very common sport, probably because it takes two teams of 50 people, which is not easy to get. But any kind of sport that involves an ungodly number of people, I'm all about. Just like the competitive multiplayer games, I only like the ones with big team battles. That's what I'm all about.
So, Mark, the history of this. This is my what I guess the history is.
Okay, all right.
So, two generals, massive military presence. They're facing off against each other, and they realize, wait, I don't want to lose all of my men. I'll just choose my best man.
Uh-huh.
But it can't just be as simple as that. We need to have the impact of our armies to some degree. I need 50 of my strongest warriors that can lift this man in the air. And they build these pedestals. And each team does it. And instead of clashing and destroying their entire armies and killing massive people, this was the deciding factor of who won that battle on that day. Is the two best warriors on top and the rest of the 50 strongest of each army pushing against each other. And they push the other one off, and that's the winner.
You are shockingly close. Chajun Nori is a traditional Korean game with origins dating back to 935 AD at the Battle of Gochun. Two teams of 50 were brought together, one team carrying the flag for the east, the other for the west. There are also 30 musicians in this game performing what is known as Samul Nori, a traditional Korean drumming performance.
Oh my gosh, to amp up, keep your blood pumping.
It's just, I wish I had a video of this. I wish I had a video. If someone finds a video, a good one, please post it on the subreddit for everyone to enjoy the wonder that is this sport. I think it is going to be a really fun one. Oh, man. All right, baby Tyler.
All right, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm so ready.
So here's the rule. You're the captain of your team of 50 people. They're going to put you on top of a 5-meter wooden A-frame that are hoisted in the air, and you will be locked together with your opponent. So as they're put up, they're put together, and they're locked in place, and then the pushing begins.
Okay. Right? Do I pick my team? Do they have to be babies too?
Yes.
Oh.
The other team does not have to be.
I pick baby you, because I heard you were a big baby.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Bob, baby Wade, baby Michael, baby. All the babies from my neighborhood. All the big babies.
All right. All the babies are on your team. So when we yell go and the drum will start, dun, 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 you start out horizontal, you hit, and then you get pushed up in the air.
Whoa!
You're going to go up and up because, remember, you're trying to be pushed. So the only way for it to go is go up. And then one of you is going to go over backwards into your team, right?
Okay.
And you don't want that to be you.
All right. So after we get up, baby team, I need you to all poop your pants really heavily so that you have a lower center of gravity and so that you're able to hold your ground a lot better, because you're basically, with enough poop in a diaper can become like glue. All right. I believe in you, baby team.
All right. Well, considering you were a baby, it only came out. So I don't think you won. Pretty sure you died.
No, I'm a baby.
Nope.
I've what?
Dead. Anywho, that's all I've got right now for Korean sports. There's many others. I haven't even touched the surface of the breadth of Korean sports or sports that are played regularly in Korea. Maybe someday we can go into detail into some of these. But I think this is a good surface level examination.
Yeah.
Some of these things we could obviously do if we were to ever make our way to Korea, which at some point I will. I will take all of you guys to Korea and we will have a fun adventure exploring a bunch of different Korean spots.
Yeah. I'm excited. This was a really fun episode. I learned about some unique sports and somehow, without even knowing it, figured out somewhat close to the history of them. So.
Well, basically, all you got to imagine is like, what's the most extreme way for this to happen? And that's it, apparently. Yeah. And a lot of military stuff, because that is a big part of Korean history.
The Roman Empire and Korean Empire.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Absolutely that. Yeah. Anyway, that's all I got.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you, Mark, for bringing up this fantastic episode on Korean sports.
Thank you.
And if you guys want to support the podcast in a monetary way and get yourself some cool swag, go to store.gmfst.com where you can get the finger deal of a lifetime with the iFinger Sports hat, the iFinger Sports finger. I'm still working on the finger. It is in process. And yeah, do all of that. Otherwise, go check out our stuff, our socials, where we are, all of that stuff. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Don't forget to get your one finger discount with the code FINGER at checkout.
That's all.
Oh, cool. All right. Bye.